He scratched his head ruefully. Not that I regret it, for there's a higher thing than the law, and it belongs in the conscience, and it says that evils such as slavery must be fought until the dragon is dead. And in that cause, I can look after myself. But you, Mr. Comber, would be better a long way from here, as quickly as may be. Indeed, sir, says I, the sooner I can reach England, I wasn't thinking of quite so far, not just yet. The way I see it, my government wants you down in New Orleans to give evidence against the crew of the Balliol College. Your testimony can put those gentlemen where they belong.
But Mr. Lincoln, there's evidence enough against them without me, I cried, all a sweat again. He was smiling down at me.
You're perhaps reluctant to go back to New Orleans because you feel it may be unsafe for you, after recent events?
Exactly, sir.
Have no fear of that, says he. No one is going to connect the eminently respectable Lieutenant Comber with all those goings-on far away up the river. That was the work of some scoundrel called Arnold Fitz-Prescott or Prescott Fitz-Arnold or someone. And if anyone did connect them, I can assure you there would be no lack of influence keeping you out of trouble. There are enough sympathetic ears in the federal government to see to that at need. Provided, of course, that you are doing your duty by that same government. But certainly not if I, a congressman, help such a witness to avoid his duty. That's why I'm bound to send you back to Orleans. Believe me, you have nothing to fear there. You can say your piece in the witness box, then go home as fast as my distant influence and that of grateful friends will send you. Aye, and wait till the Balliol College scoundrels denounce me as Flashman, their fellow slaver, posing as a dead man, thinks I. We'll see how much influence is exerted on my behalf then. I made a last effort.
Mr. Lincoln, believe me, nothing would give me more satisfaction than to accede to your request.
Capital, says he. Because that's what you're going to do.
I could cheerfully have consigned him to blazes. He had my short hairs fast in the mangle, and what the devil was I to say, with those dark caverns of eyes smiling down at me?
So, that's settled, says he cheerily. I'll speak to Judge Payne and we'll arrange for a U.S. Marshal to accompany you. You'll be safe that way and won't run the risk of straying again.
He was positively benign, the long villain. I could have sworn he was enjoying himself. He shook hands and went over to the door.
Good luck, Mr. Comber, or whatever your name is. In the unlikely event that we meet again, try and find out for me what club hauling is, won't you? And God bless you for what you did for that girl. And then he was gone.
And I was not to see him again until that fateful night 15 years later, when, as President of the United States, he bribed and coerced me into risking my neck to save his Union from disaster. But that's another tale for another day.